Welcome to School Sucks Live. If you're new, I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing. But first of all, I'm the host. I'm Brett. And my co-hosts tonight are Mandrick and Osborne. How you guys doing?
Doing good tonight, buddy.
Hey, Osborne. Brett, how you guys doing?
Good. I'm glad you guys are here. 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Is that like a lucky number?
Three? No. 7, 9, 11, they say, even though that sounds terrible to me.
Who's they?
The people who talk about numbers.
They talk a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But 11. They say 11 and 7 are the big ones.
I gotcha.
All right. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to probably get to dropping out of high school. There is a story that we have to cover just because it was such a big flap this week. This student who told, a teacher who told a student that he could be arrested for talking badly about President Obama.
Oh, geez.
Yes, and they get into a shouting match in school. This happened in North Carolina. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that story.
No, because you didn't bring it up.
How terrible at show prep.
Yeah, remember when we were asking what we were going to talk about tonight.
Right.
Said, oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I say. Yeah.
Brett said we have lots to talk about. We have no idea what it is. That's fine. Surprise us.
We should have put more thought into that. No, but I do want to talk about this story. I can read you some clips from it. It was very interesting. And it was a big news item this week. But first, let me give the number 843-JOIN-SSP if you want to give us a call on the phone. It's open phones all night. We'll take your call. You can talk about any education issue that you have on your mind. And you can also Skype in at School Sucks Live. Now, if you are brand new to this, this is a live show that is pretty much based on a podcast that I've been doing for almost 3 years called School Sucks Podcast.
Clarify that it's only live if you are listening to it on Thursday night at 10 p.m.
Yeah, here's a tip.
To midnight.
Audio is like it will be recorded and someone might listen to it later.
These are all good points. Here's a tip. If it's not Thursday between 10 and 12 Eastern time, this show is not live.
This show also runs past midnight. That's a little secret.
Yeah, that's a good use of this this first little bit of the show here to talk about. We've been having a pretty good time doing an almost entirely different podcast after midnight. The three of us get a little loose. And it was funny that, you know, you're probably listening to us on LRN.fm, where we stream as audio. You can also check us out as video at schoolsucksproject.com/live. And you can see all three of us there. But, you know, there's a lot of great programs on LRN. So if you are checking us out on Ustream, click on LRN.fm and see all the great programs there. And you can link to their websites and you can see what the shows are about. And there's probably like quite a bit of diversity as far as shows are concerned. So one of the shows that we kind of like for, I guess, their incompetence. It's kind of like a cult hit called Wheels Off Liberty.
They're our personal friends too.
Yeah, and they're, you know,
I'll admit it.
They say they're going to have a comeback, and then they don't, and it's a mess.
They're working on like their fourth or fifth comeback, I think.
Their fourth or fifth comeback, sure. So
they will have, on the other hand, a live comeback. At Pork Fest.
We'll talk about that. We'll get there.
Yeah. Friday. What is it? Friday night Pork Fest, 8 o'clock.
That's right.
Yeah, June 20 something.
Yeah.
One of the 20s in June, that will be. And you and I will be a part of that.
Right. But go ahead.
But so the show disappeared a while back, and you and I, who really enjoyed it, and we really like...
We brought it back.
Yeah. We did bring it back together once, but that we could only that could only ride on our coattails for so long. So when it disappeared a second time, we said we should start our own podcast that's like a liberty-themed comedy podcast. And call it Friends of Wheels Off Liberty. We'll jump on their coattails for a change. See where that takes us. That kind of fizzled because I said, no, I'm not putting my energy into reviving Wheels Off Liberty podcast. Are you kidding? I'll put that work into my own show. We'll do eventually our own live show in Manchester. But now we have this time slot after midnight, which is just on the Ustream video feed.
Plus
I record it. Where we kind of go nuts and we out Wheels Off Liberty.
We take the...
We don't have the accents.
No.
I think that works to our... Do you think that makes it funnier when people talk that way?
Let's discuss maybe after the show, maybe each of us could take on a different persona.
Ooh, I want to have a Chicago accent.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, guys, I'm back into talk radio a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm getting ready to do this logical fallacy series. I just had Wes Bertrand on my show last week doing
from
a little
Complete Liberty.
Yep, from podcast. Complete Liberty podcast.
A continuation of the logical fallacy series that you've already done?
No, no, no. I've never done a. That was a double speak, which was just kind of a introduction. Ooh,
another great series. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
But this one is going to cover fallacies, like, you know, detail by detail, all the different types of fallacies that we see in the media. I did do a similar series, yes, in the past. Now, I want people to, if you have examples of like a great use of a slippery slope or an ad hominem from a YouTube clip or an audio clip, I'd love people to send me this stuff because I would like to put it into these shows as examples. So if you have a favorite fallacy out there, you know, send me an email.
You always make a great montage of those in your podcast.
I try to.
You always use it's a lot of production value.
But it's so hard when you're looking for a specific one.
Right.
Like, let's think of ad hominem is always the first one that comes to mind. But like the fallacy of composition or the fallacy of division or something like that. And you can't search YouTube for this particular fallacy.
You have to sit there and watch all that crap.
You have to sift through so much junk to be able to find what you're looking for. So I'm just flipping through talk radio to see what I could catch, and I caught the most beautiful 5 minutes as far as like somebody who's on a hunt for fallacies just happening to stumble across something, right? And I was on my way here. Osborne and I had dinner before this, and I was just driving back. So this literally happened in like three,
thanks
four,
for
five
inviting
minutes.
Me, guys. I appreciate that.
I just watched you devour food right before that, so I figured you probably weren't hungry.
Go ahead.
Now, this man named Michael Cooner, I think his name is, from Chicago, covering for Michael Savage, is talking about this pizza place in Dallas, Texas, that has come up with this policy that they will give people a free pizza if they can order in Spanish. And you know the whole conservative point of view on people speaking Spanish. This is the destruction of our culture.
Right.
So he turns one pizza place in one city in the United States into you know, offering pizza to free for free to people who speak Spanish, into in 3 minutes the balkanization of America. It happens in 3 minutes.
Wow!
And he's saying, folks, don't you see where this is? Is that Chicago? That sounds like Chicago, right?
Sure, a little bit.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to give, you know, pizzas first to people who speak Spanish, and then what's next? Where does it end? So he does this great...
Just say, the Bears. That's what it's really, where it sounded like you were going with that.
No. This is exactly how he talked on the show. And he says, folks, next it's going to be who? The Japanese people? We're going to give free pizza. I think I'm turning into someone from Long Island. Like an old woman with sequins on her bathing suit all of a sudden. How did that happen? You've seen those people. They're on cruises.
Say, I would like to do an entire show on the difference between slippery slope and reductio ad absurdum.
I think that would be a fantastic one.
Yes.
We're going to take a call real quick. 602, you are on School Sucks Live. Who's this? How can we help you?
I don't know if I'm the one that you're speaking of, but you don't appear to be on Skype at the moment.
Oh, well, you're on the show, so...
Yeah, we're on Skype. And so are you. You have a question?
What can we do for you tonight?
Oh, no, I was observing on Skype. I happen to be number two that caught the entire pre-show, including the preceding antics before the belch.
Oh, okay. So what can we do for you on the actual show tonight?
Yeah.
No, and I was just observing. I didn't necessarily mean to call in, but yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let you go. Thanks. Well,
call in during the after show, and I'm sure you'll have plenty to say.
See, we are hiring call screeners. This is a volunteer job. That would be good if we had one of those.
If we had one of those, yeah.
How would we even make that work?
I have no idea.
I don't see that happening. Where would you seat them at this table, Brett?
I know. That's a good point. So anyway, 3 minutes, this guy, he's filling in for Michael Savage, turns this pizza place, giving away pizza to people who speak Spanish, into the end of America. It was wonderful.
The end of America with School Sucks Podcast.
843, join SSP. Give us a call if you have something to talk about.
School Sucks Live on Skype.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, this is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. Today is the 24th. I'm Brett, and with me tonight is Mandrick and Osborne. Guys still doing good?
I'm doing great, Brett.
Yeah. So I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about this story. If you hadn't heard about it, this teacher in North Carolina, you heard nothing about this?
I would love to hear about it, Brett.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
Please tell me.
All right, this is from the Daily News, and I'm not going to play the audio because it was recorded on a cell phone camera, really poor quality, but it's kind of promising because I think this is the kind of thing that would have happened far more rarely than is happening in school today, you know, 20 years ago, and that was how effectively and really calmly this student actually wound up challenging his teacher. So, oh my goodness. Is that the woman? Sorry, I just saw a picture of her.
I think that's a dude.
What?
That is a dude. Sorry. Sorry, sir, whose picture I just looked at. A high school social studies teacher in North Carolina was suspended Monday for telling a student that he was not allowed to disrespect President Obama and could be arrested for speaking ill of the commander-in-chief. Tanya Dixon Neely, the teacher at North Rowan High, was suspended with pay. Guys ever heard about something like this happening?
I'm pretty sure it's called vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty common when you work for the state.
Right.
I have never heard of this happening in the real world.
How is that punishment?
The opposite of that. That's what I do. Like when someone at my workplace does really well,
yeah.
I say, you get to go to Las Vegas for a week. Enjoy yourself.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
It's not like when they, you know, take a dump on someone else's head, then I say, oh, hey,
that happens?
I would like you to go to Vegas. No, that does not happen.
All right. So let me reread that using language that's consistent with objective reality, which is an annoying habit that I have sometimes. Tanya Dixon Neely, a teacher at North Rowan High was suspended. Sorry, I blew it again. I started reading it. I meant to say was rewarded. We'll pick this back up in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone. Caller, you are on School Sucks Live. How you doing?
Okay, and you're gone.
So let's go back to the story.
Excellent.
All right, so it says there's an investigation going on now while this teacher is vacationing and being rewarded. The video was apparently recorded by a cell phone camera set on top of a desk.
Wait, hold on a second. How could they have a cell phone camera in there when cell phones aren't allowed in class?
This is not the school.
It's just some places they're not allowed.
Yeah.
Oh. Like in New York, where a caller last week was calling from, it's against the rules because they can blow up the entire school.
We all know how phones blow up stuff, but yeah.
But in North Carolina, they're only used for purposes of good.
Well, they're allowed to have, and I don't know if that was ever addressed or if the teacher, if they were being recorded surreptitiously. And one thing that I actually caught a bit of crap for from a recent show, I had Kevin Soling on, the director of the movie The War on Kids, and somebody commented angrily about one of his suggestions that he made during that interview, that students bring cameras into school and start surreptitiously recording their teachers, you know, just to kind of raise that, hey, you know, somebody could always be watching what you're doing. What do you guys think of that?
I think there were certain moments when I was in high school that if such a thing occurred and it was put on the internet, it probably would have got a lot of attention.
Like national news?
I don't know about national, but at least locally.
Can you think of an example?
Yeah, there was a time where there was a teacher who he liked to swear all the time. And he was like one of the type of sports coaches. So he was like, he always took this attitude where it's like, you know, like Mr. Tough Guy.
Yeah.
And he'd always make fun of kids in class and make jokes. So I gave it right back to him. I made a joke about his bald head.
Ooh.
And another kid in my class who was also came from like a Greek family, he laughed at the joke, and here this teacher turns around and just slaps him in the face.
Whoa.
And just straight on slapped in the face, and he says to both of us to get out of his class and never come back.
Now what kind of a school is this?
Public high school.
You're kidding me.
Nope. And so he was like, he literally told us to never come back. And so we like called our parents and they called the cops. Nothing happened to the guy. He was just, he had to apologize to us. That was it.
It's very difficult to deal with a teacher who's been tenured. And the right. default position of the union is to defend them almost no matter what they do. I had a friend who was a public school teacher.
But I'm just saying, what if there's a camera in that classroom? I mean,
it changes everything.
Right.
It changes everything. So if there are, I think what Kevin Soling's point was, is if there are just maybe a dozen incidents of things being posted on the internet that teachers do in school, then that could create this big change in behavior. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of being tested out with the police, and yeah. it doesn't really seem to be doing
right.
much.
That's what I was going to say. There's all kinds of videos out there about the police beating on people, murdering people, raping people, and yet it still continues to go on.
Yeah, at the very least, threatening. All kinds of threatening behavior from the police. So we haven't really seen it. I mean, maybe that will change. I understand the argument where people say it is about protecting yourself a little bit to some extent. But I think it would be interesting to see what happens in the schools if people do that. And I'm sure that there's a number of things that happened when I was in school with teachers. I remember our detention teacher was absolutely, she was the worst woman in the world.
Well, she probably was. How long was she in that school system?
She was an older lady, and she didn't teach any. She was one of those teachers who really didn't teach anything. But we didn't have the rubber rooms in New Hampshire for okay. people who were just terrible and incompetent. So she really enjoyed having the role of just being the detention teacher. That was all she did.
Like I'm just curious. Like I just want to picture where was this woman when she first became a teacher. Like,
yeah.
I wonder what just like the breakdown, because I find it hard to believe that if she was like that from day one, you know, and maybe she came into it like, I'm going to make a difference.
No, I don't think, yeah, I think you're right, because I don't think that might attract a lot of people to something like police work,
mm-hmm.
who just want to get tough with people or kind of do payback for the bullying or the mistreatment they received.
Right, all the harsh
life.
Treatment they had growing up.
But I really don't see people being attracted to the education profession for that same reason.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a question of how quick can it happen? You know,
how long does it take? I guess it matters. It depends on the individual. But I'm sure over time, I mean, if somebody stays in that, I would think if you're not going to break down and become somebody like that, you're going to quit. Like, you're just like, I can't work here anymore. This is insane.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, once you're there so many years, I mean, no surprise.
There is a story that I was beginning to tell just about touching on the union right. Aspect of this. When I lived in Vermont, this nice older lady was a public school special ed teacher. I used to play racquetball with her. And she got involved in this controversy at her school because the union, she was speaking out against a 26-year-old teacher. So this kind of does show us that some people might get into this profession with nefarious intentions from the beginning, who had developed a kind of romantic relationship with one of the girls in his class. He was 26 or 27.
How old was she?
This was a middle school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a problem. And they were, you know, exchanging love notes pretty much openly in the school. And she spoke out against this, and the union attacked her, and she basically wound up quitting her job and leaving the town.
Do you think there was a little bit of a power dynamic there between the student and the teacher?
With the unions, it was all about seniority. Like, wouldn't they take the old lady's side?
We will talk about that in a few. This is School Sucks Live. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett. With me tonight is Mandrick and Osborne, and we're just having kind of we're covering a bunch of different topics, but we got into our current discussion through this story about a student in North Carolina who was threatened with arrest.
Dun, dun, dun.
For criticizing the President of the United States. Now, I'm sure there are people in talk radio who are dealing with this. In the, well, what are the things that people say? What is Alex Jones saying about this? What are the regular conservative pundits saying about this? Probably, you know, this is Obama indoctrination, that kind right. of thing. School is only indoctrination for the state, no matter what, right? So,
well, and on the other side, you probably have people saying, well, the only reason this teacher was punished was because the president is black.
By and, the way, Jason had air quotes there when he said punished.
Yeah, that's why we do a video watching. Show so people right. can see that stuff.
Which you can view at
schoolsucksproject.com/live if you're listening to us on LRN. And if you're watching us on the live video feed, also remember to check out LRN.fm and see all the other programming that they have there. Liberty-oriented podcasts and live shows, some excellent live shows. So the other interesting aspect of this story, and from what I've heard, I'm really surprised that people in the mainstream media and the sort of reactionary media aren't dealing with this, but the student is white and kind of coming to the defense of people like Romney and Bush, which is not, you know, a good thing as far as I'm concerned. But the teacher is black and coming to the defense of Obama. And I'm thinking in North Carolina, what's happening under the surface a lot is there's probably some pretty serious racial tension. And when you listen to the video, you can really hear that. You know, like the kid doesn't know anything about Mitt Romney or George Bush, it doesn't seem, because what the discussion started talking about was how Mitt Romney apparently bullied somebody in high school. They held down a kid who they thought was gay, and somebody like made like they were going to cut off some of his hair.
Yeah, that's some terrible story.
So then what the kid says to the teacher is, didn't President Obama bully somebody? Because Obama talks about this in one of his memoirs. And the teacher absolutely flips out and says it is inappropriate to criticize the sitting president of the United States, but it is fine to criticize somebody running for president.
Now, I've heard this attitude before from really old people.
Yes.
I've got this grandma like that. I remember back when Clinton was president. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, why is he, you know, bombing those people over in, was it Bosnia?
Yeah.
He was bombing the crap out of people.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't talk bad about the president.
It's funny how a question kind of becomes a threat, isn't it?
And I also wonder what this kid is defending Romney and Bush. What would be the reason why he'd be doing that? Probably because of his parents, right?
Probably. And it seems in the video like nobody else. I'm really surprised that they didn't try to exploit the racial aspect of this story. And now that the teacher is being punished, maybe they will, you know, the liberal media, reactionary media like MSNBC, Al Sharpton, will try to play some kind of race card.
So
go ahead.
To assume that everyone in North Carolina is a bigot, are you not being bigoted?
No, I'm not assuming that everyone in North Carolina is a bigot by any stretch of the imagination, but there does seem to be some racial tension underneath this discussion because the teacher is very, very emotional about it. And that just might be related to her love for Obama. Because remember, teachers tend to be pretty liberal, you know, right. The Democratic Party, pretty good friend of these unions.
Right.
The teachers.
Because where do they get their paycheck?
From
the government.
Yes. That's how that works. But what I like about this story and what I think is a positive trend, and I would like to definitely see more of this, is that the student is like, as soon as it's clear that the teacher is putting forward some kind of agenda, the student is challenging the teacher and providing, you know, counter examples. And I think that's great. I think that's something that actually should happen.
That's part of a discussion, right? I mean,
which is really something that doesn't go on too much in school. From the interactions that I have with young people, and I ask like about what do you talk about in this class, or how does this environment function? There isn't a whole tremendous amount of back and forth between
it's just sitting there taking notes, right?
Yeah,
you talk and I'll listen.
Yeah, and it's far worse in college. You know, like Osborne, don't you have a bunch of stories or at least a couple stories about people getting, you know, their heads chewed off in college for challenging professors?
Man, I had a couple professors like that, just really like hardcore right wing fundy types.
Yeah.
Who just, if you tried to challenge anything that they were saying, those are not the words I told you. You better not write that on an exam.
Mm. So if you had like some term paper to do and you handed it into them and it went against the things that they were saying, like it took a different opinion, different viewpoint, would receive a terrible grade on it? Because it didn't toe the line.
I just towed the line and got my grade.
Well, right. I mean, that's pretty much what it teaches you. It's like, oh, okay. So if I just go along, then right. I can pass.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. Today is Thursday, the 24th. I'm Brett.
It's Mandrick here.
And Osborne over
here. All right. Glad you guys are here tonight.
I'm always happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah, it is a good...
What would be doing? It would be crazy.
It is a good thing that I'm here.
Yes.
Definitely. So we've been all over the place. Just we read like two paragraphs of this article, this story about this boy down in North Carolina who tried to challenge his teacher. Now, we admit we don't know what his motives were. And
He's North Carolinian, so he's clearly a racist.
Now, you
according to you,
you're putting words in my mouth at this point. That is not true at all.
Oh.
I don't believe that. It seemed like if you hear the audio, which is not good quality at all, it was recorded on some kind of cell phone cam.
Okay.
And it doesn't look like the cam. The reason why I said surreptitiously is because it looks like the cam is just facing the ceiling as if it wasn't, you know, like right out recording the whole thing out in the open.
So do you think this kid just records all of his classes all the time? Or do you think he's, I'm going to say something to piss the teacher off. I'm going to hit record now.
It seems like there was like a little bit of back and forth prior to this, but there was like 2 or 3 minutes of the audio before this incident happens, which I thought was interesting.
Well, this kid probably grew up in a home where his parents are Republican, and you know, this teacher's saying things that he disagrees with, and he's like, "Well, I'm going to speak up and defend, you know, my point of view," which is probably his parent. I mean, I know when I grew up, I called myself a Democrat because my parents were Democrats. And
yeah.
I know that's fairly common, right? You don't really, until you get a full understanding of everything, I guess.
Yeah. So what kind of class? Was this like a social studies
class? It was definitely a social studies class.
Okay, so maybe the guy's used to listening to this teacher go on and on about the wonders of Obama. Probably.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Maybe he keeps getting shut down every single day.
Right.
And so
right.
he says, you know what? I'm getting this on tape. I'm done with this.
That's a possibility. You know, it's funny how influenced I was because my parents were real Republicans when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they had it all figured out, you know. And I thought George Bush, the elder, the 41 Bush, I thought he was fantastic. I made a little fame for myself in my hometown. I'm not making this up, of being a George Bush imitator.
No.
Like Dana Carvey was on Saturday Night Live. I would go.
Should we save it for the after show?
I can't do it anymore. My voice changed too much. But
Puberty, damn you.
Yeah, I know. No, but I think I was, it was when he was president. So I was about 13, 14 years old. And every year for those glorious 4 years that he was our leader, we had the Brentwood, New Hampshire variety show. And I would get up there on stage. My friend Michael would be the Secret Service guy. And I would do, I'd put a picture of Barbara Bush on the desk with me. And I would talk to the audience. And I did this like 3 years in a row. Hey, everybody, this is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Live. My co-hosts tonight are Mandrick and Osborne. We're back for hour two. Our number is 843. Join SSP, JOINSSP for School Sucks Podcast.
Yeah, we are back. I just wanted to say, Jason, you're looking absolutely sexy tonight.
Likewise, my good man.
You do. You know, when you come from work,
yeah,
it's a good look. Mm.
I just have a t-shirt and some shorts on.
Yeah. And
Jason
dresses
up.
I can dress pretty casual for work for what I do.
Now, what's funny is when I'm actually at work,
yeah,
like I'm not typically wearing pants.
Pants are down.
Or sometimes shirt.
I picture it. Now, are you like...
Not like I work at a porn studio. Just, you know, I go in my office and I close the door.
And you take your pants off.
Yeah.
Now, I take my pants off.
You're the principal of the company you work for. Are you the CEO? Is that your title?
I'm actually the CIO.
CIO. So Chief Information Officer.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Now, but you're the big boss where you are, pretty much. Like, you're the guy. You're the number one.
He's the guy.
I'm an observer.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're, you know... like it's my money that they're making.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I don't actually tell them what to do, or, you know, because I have people that are smarter than me.
Yeah.
You don't need to micromanage.
Now, in the times in my life where I had jobs, where there was an office, the CEO, I really think he was leading two lives, you know, because he would storm out of his office, right? Looking like in a hurry. He'd be on a phone. He'd be looking at his watch saying, "Bah, I'm so busy. I'm the CEO of this company." Yeah.
Well, the game was about to start.
I do that too, but it's because I'm going to meet lunch.
Yeah. So look at the time, and it's, I never have time for anything. You have no idea.
It's a little insider comment there.
And I'm like, you know, that door shuts, and it's martinis and X videos. And I don't know if that's what you do, but your pants are down. So
no, it's just more comfortable that way.
You really take your pants off at work, like Robert De Niro did in Casino.
There's no porn at work, but that we talk about on the air.
Sure. Understandable. Yeah. I'm just saying what I pictured going on behind these doors.
I know you picture me watching porn. Why that is.
Let's save this for the after show, guys. The after show starting at midnight tonight. You know,
the host started it.
We had an after show a couple weeks ago, or a show, the After School Sucks special, as we're going to call it. We had a little debate. You wanted to call it detention. I think that's too negative. No. After school specials were always so empowering and like inspirational, you know? And that's what I want our after the regular show continuations on Ustream to be, inspirational and, you know, powerful.
Have you actually listened to them? Because that's not what they are.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because a couple weeks ago we brought up an educational topic, which, you know, we're not bound to educational topics in that part of the show.
No.
But we started talking about an article that we never got to cover a couple weeks ago from a blog called The Innovative Educator. And the title of the piece that I wanted to read was Dropping Out Was a Good Idea. And it was written by a student who had left high school. And I think we teased this a little bit in that show where we said he was very self-directed. He had all of these things that he wanted to get into. And he felt that school was getting in the way or wouldn't let him do, you know, pursue the things he was interested in. So he left. And this is kind of a follow-up. Now, I've always been very apprehensive about saying to kids, you should drop out of high school.
And I said, kids, drop out. Just drop out.
And you said the same thing, Osborne.
Yeah, well, I take a little bit middle of the road position in that school works for some people.
Yeah.
If school is working for you, do it. If it's not, get out.
Yeah.
Like if your dad is awesome to you and you have a good relationship with him, hang out with him. If your dad is a jackass to you and, you know, smacks you around or calls you a punk or something.
Sure.
Just leave. You don't have to hang out with him.
You don't. Some dads in schools are terrible.
Sure.
And you shouldn't expose yourself to those kinds of people or environments. But like, I always worry about the one thing that somebody could clip from a show and say, here's what this guy is all about, getting kids to drop out of school.
This is Mandrake, and kids, I encourage you to drop out of school and teach yourself. Get a job, do something you love.
Right. I mean, we talk about school here. We all know what it's about.
Sure.
It's not actually education, but it can serve a particular purpose if you're trying to achieve certain goals.
Oh, there's nothing. Yeah.
If your goal is to go to grad school so that you don't have to work anymore or for another 4 years,
mm-hmm.
then go ahead and stay in school. As long as you're getting good grades and it's not costing you much effort, right? Like if you're someone who can skip class half the time or 90% of the time and still get straight A's, then it's not hurting you to stay in school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certain jobs that if you want to be a medical doctor, you're not going to be able to do that under the table. I mean,
Yeah, you can work for like the mafia.
But I'm saying like you're going to have serious, serious problems if something goes wrong, you know, when something goes wrong and when you get caught. I understand there are some reasons obviously to stay in school, but I'm not somebody who says, okay, going to college is a waste of time for everybody. I realize that, there's some value in it with depending on what you want to do. And if you know what you want to do and if somebody else is paying for it too, oh my gosh, sure. But I just can't imagine staying in public school. It just felt like such a waste of time in my life. Just, I could have done so much more. I could have been working more and teaching myself more.
Mm.
Yeah, people often don't consider the opportunity cost of being in school. It's always, well, my tuition is X. Like, okay, your tuition is X, but your lost wages that you could be earning right now working a job.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But here's something I started thinking about a little while ago is like if someone today were able to start working when they were say 13 years old, save half of their money. Mm-hmm. In 10 years, they would be able to stop working, live off of the half income that they had been saving and investing that entire time, and go do whatever the hell they want to do. If they could maintain that lifestyle of living off of half of what they were used to making.
If they started working when they were 13 years old.
Yeah, you could be retired when you're 20.
I was
23 years old. Maybe you go learn some new things, then go take off on a different career. Maybe work another 10 years, bank a whole bunch of more money.
I don't understand why
people work for 60 freaking years before they retire. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's interesting. We are going to take a call. 914, you are on School Sucks Live.
Hey, Brett, it's Mike from New York City.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I don't know what the delay is like from the live stream, but you guys were talking about the opportunity cost and stuff of going to school.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's too much. That was maybe a minute ago.
Oh, good. Okay. So I'm not too off topic, but no. I wanted to throw in this discussion here is that I don't think there's any profession today other than maybe a doctor that it's actually worth going through the whole enchilada of school and debt be in the world. I went to school for architecture. I became an architect, and the career took a nosedive when the economy took a nosedive. And I know people who went to law school and who are like highly educated people who can't find jobs in today's world and are so far in debt that it's almost not worth it.
Right.
That seems like a common problem.
Yeah. And so, the advice that I would tell people that I know who are thinking about going into college is, just go get a job, do something else, because, if you want to be an architect, work with an architect and become a designer that way. Don't go through the school process. You're just wasting the education is not worth the risk. And there's too many unknowns, right? If you go take out a loan now and 4 years later, you don't know what the economy is going to be like and how much the government's going to meddle in it.
Hey, how difficult would it be to get an apprenticeship as under an architect? Because, I understand that's how things were done, back in the day. Like if you want to be a blacksmith or whatever, you'd become an apprentice. And to me, that makes so much more sense doing the work hands on. But I'm just curious. I guess we could talk about this.
Yeah,
and come
Mike,
back. But
I'd like to hold you over if you have a few more minutes. Can you stick with us?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. We'll be right back. This is School Sucks Live. Everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm here tonight with Mandrick and Osborne. How you guys doing?
That's welcome back.
Great. Yeah, we're cruising right along tonight. We've covered quite a few subjects, but right now we are in the middle of discussing what I think is kind of a touchy topic, whether or not people should consider dropping out of government school.
Do it.
I say yes. Osborne says,
Yeah, and I think that's something. I think we would all agree that this is something that is specific to it really depends on the individual.
It does
what they want.
Absolutely,
and what kind of situation they're in. I mean, this is certainly not something that is going to go over for everybody, because there's other people, whether it's right or wrong, and it's wrong that other people are involved in that decision. Unfortunately, a lot of young people live in situations where, there are other people involved,
and there's threats too, right? If you dropped out of school when you're 12, I mean, your parents could go to jail, right? If you just stopped going to school.
There in a lot of places, it depends on what state you live, but there's different legal flaming hoops that you have to jump through for sure. But right now, I want to go back. We have Michael on the phone. He's in New York. He's an architect, and he was suggesting that the only profession that really requires college, all of the college, which I think for a medical profession is like 8 years, is becoming a doctor. Do I have that right, Michael?
Yeah, that's for certain.
I was going to say, and the only reason it's required is because of all the trouble you can get in legally if you don't, because I'm sure somebody could become a medical doctor through, you know, an apprenticeship. No, but I mean, like, you could learn a lot online, and you could learn a lot. To say that the only way you could become a doctor is by going through this horrible schooling system and this residency where you're basically a slave, you know, going through all the hoops that they have now, to say that's the only way you can become a doctor, I just think is false. But I mean,
I would like to point out that the government requires you to have more hours of schooling to cut hair than they do to fly an airplane.
Really?
That's right.
My goodness. So, Mike, what other thoughts do you have?
Something that Mandrake said before was, as he asked me about internships for architects and if you could apprentice.
Right.
And actually, to get your license, you cannot apprentice. You have to go to an accredited university.
That is insane.
Yeah, and so what it did was kill the profession, because essentially what you would do, and all the famous architects like Frank Lloyd Wright, apprenticed with somebody and learned the profession and the practice that way. And, of course, they didn't have to go through all the debt slavery. What I would suggest to somebody who's interested in becoming an architect, say, don't go to college for it. Actually work at a firm, because a lot of big firms actually don't have licensed architects. There may be one or two in the office, but if there's an office of like 100 people, you know, not everybody there is a licensed architect. So you'll actually get to practice in the field without needing to go through all those hoops.
Because I know for me personally, I need to be doing things. If I'm going to learn how to do it, I need to be doing it. I need to be making those mistakes and figuring it out, you know, for myself.
Do you feel like that would create a little bit of like an incestuous situation where maybe, you know, people like perpetuate some mistakes, and maybe at 20 years down the road, a firm starts turning out like mutant buildings, you know, with like towers that lead to nowhere.
But who's going to pay to have this built if they're not, you know, structurally sound?
That was the way the profession was run for. I mean, architecture is the second oldest profession in the world. It's the second only, of course, to prostitution.
I was going to say prostitution. you got to build those whorehouses.
We go back to the ancient world, and of course, that's how you learned the profession from way back then, was learning from somebody else and also learning from their mistakes. You know, every firm that I worked at had its own series of mistakes, and I've learned from that in going on in my own career. So, you know, I hope. But also, you know, we live in a world in which there's so much educational stuff at your fingertips online for such a little cost. I mean, a computer's cheap, internet connections are cheap, and you could, for, you know, a fraction of the cost you would go to college, learn from, like, the Mises Institute, learn from actual, like, real professors in a sort of college-type atmosphere where you're learning a lecture thing. But I almost think that, I can't think of any profession that's worth the 4+ years and the thousands of dollars in debt for.
Yeah. I spent 8 years in college and grad school studying economics. And when I started that, it was kind of, internet was just basically getting off its feet.
Right.
I could go and learn more about economics on the Mises.org website today in probably, I don't know, a week or two.
Yeah.
Than I did in 8 years sitting in not sitting in classrooms, as it
were. right. And you didn't go to like the worst schools either for that discipline. I mean, as economics is concerned,
right?
You were at the place to be, which was George Mason, right?
That's the place for Austrian economics. I was also at NYU for a while.
I think there also needs to be a big shift too, where people who are in professions now, like architects and stuff, need to be more open-minded to taking in apprentices and changing the way the business world works.
Right.
I mean, we have the power to do that now, especially us younger architects going into the field, you know, take people under our wings and turn them into the next generation of architects. And maybe we can reverse that whole need to go to the BS university for a BS degree.
Well, right. I'd like to see companies that do hiring. A lot of times, like I just, somebody who worked in a corporate environment for 10 years, you know, because I didn't have a certain piece of paper, maybe they wouldn't consider me for a job simply because I didn't have that. Because it's like, well, I went through it and got all this, so therefore, you know, if you didn't do it, you're not qualified. But it's like, well, you know, in this particular job, I know how to do it. And, you know, they don't care about that. They just want to know, do you have this piece of paper?
I mean, can you even get away with doing that in today's legal environment? Like, I know how to hire people to do work that makes me money.
Right.
And that's hard enough. I mean, that's, you know, hours and hours of paperwork and stuff every single month. I wouldn't even know how to go about trying to engage in a business relationship with someone I wasn't going to be able to pay.
Right.
You are paying them, right? By, I don't know. I mean,
you know, government says you have to give them this many dollars for every hour that they're on your property.
And Michael suggested, if we heard you right, I'm sorry, you said paying them with experience.
Or some, right. or some type of stipend, like a small amount of pay. I don't know, but I mean, yeah, you're right. They have minimum wage laws, and it's crazy.
But how that experience, evolved. when you're at a, you know, a point in your career where you're making you know, $10 or $12 an hour, maybe you start out something on the lowest rung. That experience is worth so much more than the money that you're going to get, you know, but people are just like Osborne said, the opportunity cost. And I think the trend that we're talking about and the direction that we'd like to see this go actually loosely links to our last story about this boy who's just might be just starting trouble in his North Carolina high school by coming to the defense of Mitt Romney, where, you know, I don't remember a lot of times in high school even thinking about challenging a teacher or even considering the fact that there was a whole real world out there. And, you know, for him to say, oh, I can just put this up on YouTube and show it to everybody, I think that's great. Michael, thank you very much for the call. Give us a call anytime. We're here Thursdays, 10 to midnight, 843. Join SSP. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. We've got about a half an hour to go here, a little less than a half an hour, a couple segments left, and that's plenty of time for your call. If you want to make it, 843-JOIN-SSP. If you do not like the telephone, you can call us on Skype. School Sucks Live is the Skype number, and we are on LRN.FM, streaming there as audio until midnight. And you can also watch our video feed at schoolsucksproject.com/live. You can get involved in a little chat there, you know.
And you can stick around for the After School Sucks special.
Yep. You can make friends in that chat, I bet. Do you think people have made friends in chats? Is that a thing people do?
I've made friends in chats. Actually, that's
one. I tell you, way back in the day, I made friends in the Free Talk Live chat.
Me too.
Did you really?
My first girlfriend, AOL chat, 1990-something, early 90, mid-90s. Yeah.
Wow.
And then she lived close and I met her a couple times.
Do you guys remember that IM? Yeah. Talking to people on that?
AIM. Before it was AIM?
AIM, yeah.
Does anyone AOL. Use Messenger?
Yeah, you know, that was something called AOL, America Online.
Yes.
Mm. Wow. We're old. Let's take a call.
Okay.
Jason, you are on School Sucks Live. How you doing tonight? Jason, you there?
Calling from the shower?
Yeah, this is me. I got to pause the live feed.
Oh, okay. It sounds like it's raining where you are, or you're showering or something.
He wants to be fresh for the show.
No, it was a conditioning fan.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
Nothing. I had an anecdotal story about how school sucks the creativity out of people.
Sure, that would be great.
Back when I was in third grade, I attempted to join an extracurricular activity group, Odyssey of the Mind, or OM.
Yep.
Ah, I did that.
What's that? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, the thing about it is when I attempted to actually, the premise of the whole idea or concept is that you had to come up with a creative thinking skill, idea, problem solving, whatever, this and that. Well, I was in the third grade, and myself, I being a fan of Popeye, the Sailor Man,
right?
Third grade, I was like, well, hey, why don't I figure out some sort of way of coming up with the creation of some sort of health bar that people would be willing to consume. that would actually make them healthier and taste good at the same time. So
was it made of spinach?
Yes.
I see where you're going there. Yes. With it.
You know, most of the spinach story with Popeye, I think that went too far.
But I like spinach. I don't eat it out of a can, though.
Yeah, no.
It's a little ridiculous.
And I don't eat it for the purpose of beating up somebody who's bothering my girlfriend.
Right?
Yeah. But Jason, go ahead. You said that you had this idea to produce and market some kind of healthy product in the form of a bar. So go ahead.
Yeah, the way I look at it now is I conceptualized power bars in third grade.
Okay.
But the bulk of the material, I'd say 70%, was spinach, and like 30% was cherries, because my aunt had a cherry tree.
Well, that sounds disgusting.
It sounds disgusting, but the idea...
Sure, yeah.
Third parent's mind was like, hey, spinach is nasty. Maybe cherries will make it taste better.
Right.
Hey, there we go. But I ended up... like cutting out like a 2 or 3 inch by like 5 inch piece of cardboard and scribbling, I don't know, green marker on the bulk of it, and then putting little cherry dots on it or red dots, whatever, wrapped it in aluminum foil and presented it to the council or the judges, whatever. And they rejected it. I was like, how would not a portable, healthful, tasty?
Is it healthy
to consume? Be rejected, but now that I look back on it, maybe obesity wasn't a big enough problem to solve back then.
I was going to ask you for what their rationalization was, but let me just take one wild guess, and then you can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
I'm sure you're probably right, but
they said it could be used as a weapon.
That would not surprise me whatsoever.
That wasn't it, though.
I just remember they just declined my opportunity to enroll into OM. So I was just like, wow. And from that point on, I mean, I've had other creative ideas or thoughts or suggestions, but I just kind of left them in my pocket.
Sure. And
I think you could have the spinach bar idea. I think we can run with this. Maybe mix like a little bit of egg with the spinach and bake it, and then like put cherries on. I would do cherries at the very end, bake it. You know, just put them on top.
And I would add like a little feta cheese and some olive oil.
Not with the cherries.
but I get the sentiment that when you're at that age and you think that you have a great idea and it's kind of dismissed for one reason or another, that's certainly frustrating. And I think that's one of the more unique versions of this story, but I've definitely heard the story several times. And I think that obviously this desire, and you know, you guys correct me, any of you, if you think I'm wrong, sort of diminishes as our years in school go on. Like, I think there's a real desire and there's a real drive to be creative in the earlier years.
Yeah.
But then really by middle school, you're just sort of marching through a routine. And then by high school, you're just trying to get through it. Jason, thank you for the call tonight. Let's go to 731. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Ed. How y'all doing?
Hey Ed. How are you?
Ed.
Hey, I want to talk about what I don't hear much about when they talk about education.
Sure.
That's poverty. And as you may know, you may have probably read that, you know, poverty poisons the brain. And it says that a lot of children 9 and 10 years old in poverty, it's equivalent to having a stroke.
Okay.
So how are we going to deal with this in the schools? But to me, my school would be all about fun and, you know, relaxation, meditation, like I've read about. And at some school in Massachusetts, that's what they're doing is meditating. He said, this principal said he was so nervous in school that he wanted to do the opposite. And I can't remember his name or anything. I wish I could. But and then, you know, you saw the study on homework, totally unnecessary until you get to maybe the 11th and 12th grade.
Okay, Ed, we'll hold you for a minute, and we'll be back in a few, and we'll pick this back up. We'll talk about meditation and what schools can do about poverty. This is School Sucks Live. We still might have time for you. 843-JOIN-SSP. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. This is our last segment of the regular show for tonight. Thank you for calling in, if you called in. Thanks for watching us on schoolsucksproject.com/live or for listening on lrn.fm. I'm Brett. I'm the host. My co-hosts tonight are Mandrick and Osborne. And on the phone, we have Ed. Ed, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Your question was... You know, you talked a little bit about the stress and the impact that living in poverty can have on a young mind. And of course, I think at that age, those kinds of things we know can have dramatic and lifelong impacts on the minds, the psyche, the emotional state of people. And certainly, you know, even younger, I think you mentioned the ages 9 and 10, but like 2, 3, 4, some of the experiences that people have at that age are formative and very difficult to, you know, deal with or readjust later in life. But another question that you asked is, what are the schools going to do about poverty? Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you know, the No Child Left Behind and all this stuff, you know, is just total sham. Because how are you going to deal with poverty? That's the main question that... listen, it's already been shown by study after study that the so-called success of a child depends on the kind of car the parents drive. And I also agree with Mandrick and Osborne, because Osborne made a good point, I think, that I agree with Mandrick, drop out if you can, but you may be penalized. And now they're trying to penalize the parents. And who is that going to affect the most? Back to the poor.
Yeah.
Whose kids will not be showing up for school. It won't be Osborne's or anybody like that, and I know it. But I also agree with Osborne that if you can get through school and do good, go for it. But like Mandrick says, you know, do what you love. You know, do what you want to do for the rest of your life, or, you know, what's good. That's what we ought to be telling the kids.
Yeah,
so
I think
I'll let y'all talk.
It is based on individual, but, I mean – to say that school is the answer for everybody, I just, you know, obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, I think that it requires...
Well, that's what Osborne said.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
I think it requires somebody who can be fairly precocious and thick-skinned and, you know, let things roll off their back and take what's happening there in context and seeing
and
the bigger picture.
And, so-called higher IQ.
Well, I don't think that it necessarily requires that, but just to be able to see the world that's out there. I mean, that was the point that I was making, that when I was in school, it didn't even really occur to me that there was a real world happening outside of that place. And even though I wasn't thrilled with this interaction that I heard in South Carolina that we've been touching on throughout this show, this conflict between the student and the teacher, the student at the very least seemed like he understood that, hey, there's some recourse for me here. You know, that if I feel like I'm getting bullied or threatened by this teacher, I can make a video of this and make it available for the world to see. I hear so many stories, even still in 2012, where kids just, all of this stuff just happens in a vacuum, and the kids don't feel like they have any recourse or any way to deal with some of the things that happen to them in school that are inflicted on them in these schools. So to see that world is out there, I think is things are moving in the right direction, because I don't know about you guys, but that never even really occurred to me. I know all of our experiences are different, but
videotaping in school?
No, I don't even just mean that. I just mean that this is not the world.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know? And we see these things that are happening in the schools today, like kids committing suicide because they get bullied in school. Kids committing suicide because they
especially gay kids. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's huge.
Yeah. Because they get bullied in school. And it's like so trapped in that environment that they don't even realize that there's going to be some, that seems like their whole life.
Well, that
seems like their whole world.
That was like the Columbine kids, right? I mean, like, isn't that one of the reasons why they did that, what they did, that horrible act?
Because they were bullied?
They just felt like they were trapped and that it was their only...
I think that was part of it. That they were also, one of the kids was being heavily medicated. He was on a drug called Luvox that sometimes, since none of these drugs are ever trialed on people that age with, you know, developing bodies and brains, it causes psychotic ideation and behavior. And so that was one factor. The bullying was another factor. The school environment forcing people together and forcing them to interact and calling it socialization instead of trapping people together and pitting them against each other.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Every time.
But Brett?
Yeah.
But the statistics show the safest place for a child is in school. What you're talking about is so rare. You know what I mean? You get struck by lightning before one of these events occur.
Right.
The shootings in schools are very rare.
Oh, yeah. It's the safest. Ed, listen, it might be the safest place when it comes to not getting shot, but it's not the safest place when it comes to being mistreated by adults and mistreated by your peers and being exposed to all kinds of demeaning processes.
But Brett, you know who gets mistreated the most? Believe this or not, you know, gets mistreated the most in schools?
Who?
The disabled and the handicapped and the mentally ill children. I mean, I read it all the time.
I've seen a lot of that,
they
too.
They get more disciplined, tied down, adults, you know, sitting on them. Yeah. I mean, just insanity. As I know y'all agree with me on that.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, right? Because, I mean, that's why they herd the kids into these places so that they can abuse them, because they are the weakest among us as an entire population. And then how much more then are the weakest among them going to be abused?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one more thing, too, Ed.
You have to talk about poverty. When you talk about school, look, if your parents have money, it's a good chance you're going to be fine. Who could argue against that?
Because they're not going to be in the public schools?
Argue against that statement?
Are you saying that because those parents will take their kids out of the public schools?
No. Just having the connections and the family life, and if they need tutoring, like I go to a bookstore here where I live, I see the wealthier kids, you know, you see them with their schools, names on all their clothes and stuff. They got tutors.
Yeah.
What a lot of the poor kids going home? Hey, listen, they go home, their food is eaten by their uncles, aunts, relatives, people coming in their homes. I mean, we're talking about poverty.
Sure. And kids learn by observing the behavior of the adults around them and replicating that behavior. Right.
Sure.
So if you're hanging out with people who are exhibiting behavior that has led them to poverty,
I have to add this. The cycle of poverty is being perpetuated by the war on drugs.
Sure.
It destroys the family. The poor families are destroyed. Hey, as y'all know, what color are the jails on drugs? Brown and black skin.
Yeah.
You can't even argue.
Yeah, and I think that that's another topic. I think it's an excellent point, but that war is certainly being accelerated in these schools as well. And you're right that minorities and poor people are the targets of that war. One thing that I want to mention before I run out of time that ties to the other stuff we've been talking about, parents of these children that you say are the worst abused in these schools, students who have disabilities, maybe even to the point where they couldn't effectively report back to their own family about some of the things that are being done in school. There's been several stories over the last couple of years of parents fitting their children with wires. You know, like informants wear and sending them into the schools.
Oh, because there's a recent one. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they suspect some of this stuff is going on and they're finding out that they're right. Now, even these things are probably, I hope this is not happening to a majority of students who are disabled, who are sort of mainstreamed into the public school or even put into these specialized rooms or programs. But yeah, that's certainly is something that's happening. And as far as the poverty piece is concerned, Ed, do you have any other thoughts about that specific to the schools? Because the school isn't going to solve any problem. That's not what the school is a problem. It's not there are no solutions coming from that institution. So do you have any closing thoughts on that?
Not as it is right now. I totally agree with you. But it's until we deal with the poverty, period. I don't know what to say, what else to say about it. What do y'all think? Well, but I'll talk to y'all later. I'll get off.
Ed, give us a call next week, okay, and we can talk about that a little more. This has been School Sucks Live. I'm Brett.
And I'm Osborne, peeps.
Yeah, and this is Magic, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be back in less than 5 minutes. If you're listening to us on LRN.fm, we're leaving there, and we are going to be on schoolsucksproject.com/live, and we'll do another half hour, another 45 minutes, and we can still take your calls. So one more time, 843, join SSP, Skype in, School Sucks Live. Thank you for listening, and take care.
It's been wonderful.